If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. and good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Soldiers of Patriotism on theconservativenationradio.org. I am your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing, in Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. Today is the 4th, 5th, 6th, the 6th of July, 2013. We've got us a great guest today. We've got us Usama Dakdak, an Egyptian-born man who converted to Christianity that's going to come on and tell us about Islam. And while he's on with everything that's going on over in Egypt right now, we thought we might talk to him a little bit about that as well, the failed foreign policy of this lead-behind president. Patriots, I opened up, of course, with REM, It's the End of the World. I do not accept alternatives or substitutions for democracy. And, well, frankly, it does kind of look like it's the end of the world as we knew it. But we're fighting hard to change that here at conservativenationradio.org, along with our partners, traditionalamericanmovement.com, and all of the wonder people over there that help support our endeavors to spread the gospel of democracy, the only word of truth, that is the word that our founding fathers set for us. Speaking of founding fathers, I was I'm going to post this on the 5th, and it slipped my mind. I was going to use it for today's editorial. I've got to be quick and brief, though, because we do have Minister Dakdak coming on here shortly. You know, I'm a bit of a history buff, and you all know that I'm a very proud Texan. You all know that one of my fourth great-grandfathers was the Attorney General for the Republic of Texas underneath President Sam Houston. I was rifling through some old letters that I have from him to Sam Houston, copies of, I should say. Don't want y'all to think that I have 200-year-old letters sitting around. And this was dated the 5th of July, 1842. I did do my blog on it, which is pretty much just the letter itself. But I'm calling it When Patriots Consider Quitting. We've all had those thoughts. I have. I'm sure that Minister Dakdak has probably contemplated that. I know that, you know, we get upset. We get depressed with what's going on. It's overwhelming. It looks like the world, the country is changing in ways that we don't want, and there's not much that we can do about it. And we go to the left 2 miles, we pull it back a mile, but we're still down the road 1 mile. So it can sometimes be a gloomy prospect. In 1842, Terrell had written President Sam Houston, who at the time was contemplating resignation of the executive's chair. And it was due in part to the Mexican invasions of 1842 and charges being leveled at him that Houston had accepted from the Whigs, that he had accepted a bribe for Santa Anna's release, the economy, the exchequer system that we had here in Texas, and other problems. The treasury was broke. And Houston was, like he did as governor in Tennessee, was ready to walk away. And I have two sources, this letter being one, and another, a short clip from William Bolliart's diary from 1842 when he visited from England to the Republic of Texas, that both confirm that President Sam Houston was about ready to throw in the towel, raise his hands, and quit. I'll just say real quickly, after I made this discovery, I sent it to a Dr. Archie McDonald at Stephen F. Austin University, as well as James Haley, a Texas historian, both of whom had never heard or seen anything about this, and they were awfully excited at the find. So, and at the end of this letter, I will give you the moral of why I bring this to our attention. City of Houston, July 5th, 1842. My dear sir, I have concluded to throw a few reflections upon the present condition of our affairs in the form of a letter for your perusal and consideration at your leisure. At a time like the present, when not only her best interests, but the very existence of the country as a nation stands poised upon the actions of her governors, it is the duty of every patriot to speak out boldly and without reserve. Influenced by the considerations and prompted also by the peculiar relation in which I stand to yourself as the chief magistrate of the nation, I feel it my duty to say to you in great frankness that you are contemplating a measure which, if carried out, must, in my opinion, end in the prostration, if not the entire destruction, of this poor, distracted country. I allude, of course, to your purpose to resign the office of President of the Republic. So thoroughly am I apprehensive of the evil consequences which must inevitably result from that inconsiderate and ruinous step, if taken, that I have determined to leave my recorded remonstrance against so ill-advised and fatal a measure, that all may know I have discharged my duty to my country in this, her hour of tribulation. You know that I am no flatterer. Therefore, you will not suspect me of any such unworthy motive when I say that in the present trying crisis of our national affairs, there is no other man that can save the country from ruin which seems so fearfully impending upon us, threatening destruction to the political institutions of this favored spot of heaven's creation. You have been called by the almost unanimous voice of the people to preside over the destinies and guide the councils of this nation. The difficulties with which you have to contend were in great measure known and foreseen. When you were called to the head of affairs, it was known that the national treasury was without a dollar, that public resources of the country were exhausted, confidence destroyed at home, public credit prostrate, in short, that the nation was bankrupt, that we were surrounded with inveterate and implacable enemies upon our borders, that insurrection and insubordination to the law stalked abroad through the land, in a word, that we were reduced to the very lowest point of national degradation. In this state of things, the eyes of the whole nation were turned upon Sam Houston, upon him who had led through the gloomy period of the revolution as the only man who could extricate the country from this complication of evils which she labored. Will you disappoint the expectation thus excited in the bosoms of your confiding countrymen? Shall future historians of Texas be compelled to record the humiliating truth that in the hour of a nation's travail, when all eyes were turned upon you as the only man living who could work her deliverance from this state of thraldom and bondage, and when also the eyes of the surrounding nations were riveted with fixed and intense interest, gazing with wonder and admiration upon the mighty efforts of the youthful Hercules for the deliverance of his country from the fangs of the political python that had enveloped her within his anacondan folds, shall it be told to posterity at such a time and under such circumstances, the man who by common consent of mankind had acquired the name of benefactor to his country, had abandoned that country and, flying to his own safety, left her an easy prey? Forbid it, patriotism. In memory to your own reputation, may kind heaven avert the dire calamity. He goes on to give them several reasons why, and I'm not going to go over that because we don't really have the time, but I'm going to end it with the last two paragraphs. You are of the opinion that the nation would that the nation and the world will do you justice to your motives and acquit you of these of the opinion that the nation and the world will that the nation and the world will do you justice to your motives and acquit you of censure. I think differently. Those who know you well and can appreciate the difficulties which surround and embarrass you would doubtless do you justice, though I doubt whether they would acquit you of blame, sir. The world at large, and more especially posterity, for whom the founders of nations always live, will hold you guilty for such an act. It is impossible that they should know the difficulties and many embarrassing circumstances with which you were literally environed. They will only know that you were the head of a nation, and that when calamities and misfortune pressed upon you, know that your country, in the hour of her deep distress, you abandoned her to fate and left her to the mercy of the powerful and merciless enemy who were threatening her from without, and a set of political enemies. The effects of these impressions would be blasting and withering to those hard-earned, the rich rewards, so many tales, privations, and hard-fought battlefields. These reflections might be extended without effort into a volume, as arguments press upon me as I proceed. I fear, however, I have already taxed your patience too heavily and will bring them to a close with the expression of hope that you will pause long enough and reflect deeply upon the calamities which you will inevitably bring upon your country by what I must consider an injudicious and disastrous measure. Yours devoted, G.W. Terrell. It's from the State Archives. The moral of that story, my friends, even the greatest of men sometimes want to throw their hands up, but they press on due to humble men and women, patriots, who press them to move forward, just as many of you have done to me when I'm ready to throw my hands up and vice versa. So you can find that in its entirety at my blog, which is Michael B. Blog. www.patriotstudios.wordpress.com. The time is, can't see my clock here. Let me go ahead and bring Brother Bing in here. Brother Bing, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, man. Thanks for waking me up with some REM. That was very good. And welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. The time is 7:15. The number here is 718-305-7176. And that was very good very good article that you found there. You know, Houston was actually born in Virginia, moved over to Tennessee for a while, and then ended up in Texas. So. He's got roots quite a few different places.
He does,
and
you know.
What a great man.
You know me being, and as does everybody, I intertwine a lot of history into things that I write. I love history, first of all. But I think that we can learn a lot about our future by our past.
Oh, definitely. I mean, because, you know, we also have to learn about it, but we can't repeat the mistakes. We can't keep repeating those mistakes, but
which we do.
But I'm happy to have this show today, man. Because as soon as Osama calls in, then we'll get him online because he's going to spend some time with us. He's going to tell us about Islam. He's going to tell us about what the guy he's a Coptic Christian, converted to Christianity when he was 11, I believe, and born in Egypt. And he speaks very well, and he doesn't pull back no punches. But
I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh,
especially in light of
born in Egypt. Oh yeah, yeah. Born in Egypt, then he's got all that, you know, that he can help us with, you know, as far as trying to cipher this out, you know, as far as who and why are we propping these people up? But anyways. Michael, conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veteran insight and some of the most informed guests Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee. Monday, 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be right back, folks. We got to make us a little bit of money here.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Just got paid today. Brother Bing, you got to love some ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, just good old boys. I've been having some battles. You know, we've had a lot of going on down here in Texas, and I've been doing some Twitter battles. I've been pinpointed by some liberals, and they've taken have actually been doing some promoting for our show, actually, inadvertently and in a foolish attempt to embarrass me with our banner. Whatever. It's really no sweat off my butt, but it's been pretty interesting. They're Wendy Davis supporters. You know, this next week, tomorrow, we're having the pro-life rally down in Austin at 7 p.m. I'm not going to be able to attend. My wife and I have some business to take care of tomorrow late afternoon with some issues that we've got going on with our son. But Mike Huckabee's going to be there. And then we're having hearings. But anyway, the House is expected to pass HB 2, which is the abortions. Fetuses. You know, feel pain. A bill, if you will, the one that the left is claiming is going to restrict abortions and close abortion clinics. But what the liberals fail to do, and being they're so good at lying, they really are. They say, and Bud Kennedy is a columnist here at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he follows me on Twitter, and he follows me on Facebook, and he posted something, and I responded to it, but someone got kind of obtuse and sideways with me, so I responded. He deleted the thread or the post that I had, but then immediately turned around and direct messaged me on Facebook, and he said, Michael, you know that that's old. We don't want to rehash it. And besides, it's not about the ban on abortions after 20 weeks. It's about the fact that it's a malicious attempt to close abortion clinics. And I'm like, no, bud, that's a fallacy. Of course, I know that you only see with your left eye. But the fact is, this bill was construed the way it was after the Kermit Gosnell incident. And it all it's requiring is that any abortion clinic meets the minimum standard of surgical ambulatory guidelines that's required of any medical facility. Now imagine that. A left, they preach about wanting to be pro-women and take care of women, but they don't want women going to a clean, healthy place where there can be this perfidious act of murder done, at least in a clean environment. I don't get it.
Well, I don't think nobody gets it, you know, and that's the whole thing. You know, they don't want people to get it. They want people to sit there and just not get it, so that they don't sit there and raise a bunch of cane about it, because they don't want it in the media attention, you know.
No. And I suppose you saw that Marco Rubio, I guess in an attempt to regain some conservative cred, is pinning a bill at the federal level 20 weeks and later outlawed. Of course, Obama's already said that he would veto that bill. I don't think this is going to go too well for the Democrats, because with sonograms as they are, with the invent of technology, the progress that we've made, you look at a photo of a 20-week-year-old or 20-week-old baby from conception, and you're looking at a baby that's not very different from the one that's born. Peggy Noonan said last Sunday, in most people's mind, that is akin to infanticide.
Yeah, and when they can, you know, I mean, people sit there and the liberals want to say, I guess there was some kind of argument. Well, when can they feel pain? You know, I mean, what is that? What is that kind of argument? You know, I go out here. I can't tell. You know, I go out hunting. I like hunting, and I go out there, you know, once in a while. And if I shoot something and I don't get a clean hit, which I haven't done yet, really, but you know, I try to put it out of its misery. But the thing is, I don't sit there and just shoot it because I want to do that.
The bottom line is liberals don't care about life. They really don't. A fetus, if you will, or what, you know, pre-born, in their mind, it simply has no rights till it is separated from the mother. So if it makes it to 20 weeks and it's born, it's alive, it's got rights. But at 20 weeks in the womb, it has no rights. It's a contradiction. I really don't see how they stand on the fight. But, you know, about 62% of Americans believe that 20 weeks and later, if you've not figured out that you're pregnant and want to have an abortion by the 20th week, screw you. you're just too freaking bad.
Yeah, and there's an issue that I had, Mike Huckabee, and I really don't care for him too much. I mean, I kind of do, but I'm not a big fan of him, but he had a very good article on his website about this, you know, as far as when does life start, and when you have people that are out there chanting. And it's easy, I guess, you know, and I'm getting dyslexic here, but I guess it's easy for women that are not pregnant or that are on the pill to sit there and talk about abortion when they're sitting there preempting that, you know. And it just always freaks me out. But the thing that really freaks me out is that women sit there and will want to abort their own children, their own kind, their own women.
Well, it's morbid. It is morbid. And clearly, more than 50% of the abortions that are done are female. What about those women? What about those females' rights?
Yeah, where's now? You know, where's the National Organization for Women? I mean, you don't see them around. You know, you don't see the Jesse Jacksons talking about, oh, this is, you know, this is crazy and stuff like that. We need to stop this. You don't see them around. No, they only come out when it's conducive to them, because the tolerance of the liberals only extends to the tolerance of thought, and the tolerance of thought is not in their vocabulary.
No, it's not. Well, you know, like I say, they're a walking contradiction. Hey, I'm going to take it for a minute. I want to see what is the first three of the phone call that we're waiting on. We've got one at 661. You don't know? Is that that number's not?
She gave me 941, but yeah, you go ahead and take that. And
All right,
let's go ahead and we'll do life lock and then be on our way. I'm sorry about this. We're just waiting for a guest to call in. I don't know if there's some kind of time zone difference or something, but conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365, there's nothing that really comes close to LifeLock. And now, Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days free and 10% off the regular price from then on, only through conservativenationradio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary, okay? So that's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Let's get this PSA out from underneath us. We got a caller from West Virginia, Bing, that has got a couple of good questions we need to get on, okay?
All righty.
You guys hang tight. We'll be right back.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf, and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Everybody chill out. I'm talking.
Hey, all right. Hang on, Frank. We'll be right with you, buddy. I got you on a hype mic. This is Michael B. at Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing at Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. The time is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Do give us a call. We entertain calls from all folks. We're courteous and polite. As long as you're courteous and polite to us, we will field your phone call. And this is the place to let your voice be heard. We are the mouthpiece of traditionalamericanmovement.com, and you can find us and our new facelift that our wonderful general manager, Teresa Brusky, has really worked hard on being. It's Conservative Nation Radio. It's looking really fantastic. We do have a call from Frank in West Virginia while we're waiting on Minister Duke Duck, Dak Duck, to call in to discuss Islam and the affairs that are going on in Egypt with us. Frank, I fielded the phone call, and he gave me one of the questions, and I said, hang on, great question, I want to get you on. So, Frank, with that from West Virginia, what were the 2 points that you wanted to make?
Well, I'm saying, and it's happened many times, when you shoot a pregnant female, and they determined she was pregnant regardless of how far into her term, that man or woman or the person is always charged with a double homicide, all right, because you killed an unborn fetus. Now, how can they now come back, and these are the same people that wrote the penal code, I believe, in this, and come back and say it's not a viable human being to week 20, all right?
Let me interject real quick there, Frank. You're right? Absolutely. Right, let me interject. You're absolutely right. Great point. Case in point, Frank, and I think you would agree. Scott Peterson in California, the liberal left coast, murdered Lacey Peterson, who was pregnant, and he was charged with a double homicide.
Yep.
So if the rights of life are extended to that fetus, why? What is so different about abortion? Your next point, Frank.
Well, my next point is I'm going to go into the African American community with their hate merchants, the Owls and the Jessies. How do they promote all this in their communities when abortions and this new morning after pill will decimate the black community? Because blacks get abortions, I believe, on 2-to-1 that of whites, all right? And they're going to be eating this new supposed non-prescription morning after pill at 3-to-1 over whites, I believe. But how do you get these hate merchants that are now, the ones all over you see with this Trayvon Martin trial, everybody's selling all the hate to America. How do they explain that to their communities that you should want your fetuses to live, you should want to give birth because it will reinforce your communities because it will. It's just the natural progression or whatever. And
they'll
never say that. Right, they'll never tell you that.
No, very few. And Bing and I, we're fortunate that we have a lot of good friends, Wayne Dupree, Stacey Swimp, Star Parker, Deneen Borelli, Christopher Arps. I mean, that's just to name a few. Oodles and oodles of really good friends in the conservative movement from the black community. And they are they talk about exactly what you're bringing up now. The decimation to the black community from abortion,
and it always has been though. It always has been the black community and abortions. If you go to your abortion clinics, all right, and I don't know where you live, you say you're out of, they're usually in or near a black community, all right.
Well, yeah,
they're very, very close. They're like your methadone, outlets. They're in black communities, and they if you ever brought it up, of course, you'd be called a racist now and today, with this war on white guys going on. But why doesn't this left-stream media, the Rachel Maddows and the Eds and the, Larry O'Donnells, why aren't they out there telling their audience this? Hey, this is bad, this is a fetus, and, it is decimating your community. I mean, it's decimating.
It's because, Frank, it's because the left are racist. Look, I don't know if our guest might that may be him on the phone, so I may have to cut us short. But if you could stick around, we'd love to entertain this question. I'm sure that some of our friends that are in the queue would love to have this discussion with you, too.
Right.
It's because the left are racist, Frank. They're truly racist.
Oh, absolutely.
You may already know. Go ahead.
I was called a racist at my own family's Christmas get-together this year, all right?
Well,
right
well,
to my face. Right to my face, because I did not vote for the current president, all right?
Yeah.
And I was called a racist, all right? Yeah, do you really? Huh.
We live it daily in the grassroots conservative world. But Frank, I want to assure you, there are good people out there in the black community. Really,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Strong conservatives that agree with you, that want you to help push this message. And let me tell you, a little bit of homework, if for some reason we get disconnected or something and we don't talk again till next week. You may already know this person, but I want you to Google Margaret Sanger and the Negro Project. This is the founder of Planned Parenthood, a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger. Planned Parenthood was, and she was a lefty. This was a planned genocide of the black community. Anybody?
Well, I agree with that, man.
You can go and look. That's why the left, you know, the Chris Matthews, they live in their fancy gated neighborhoods. But it's all vanilla. They put their kids in private school, and they're going to sit.
And they're never at street level. They've never went out on street level. They've never eaten in an Applebee's. They've never been into the inner city fringes. They've never went to the public golf course. There are new elitists who make our decisions for us and are determining our morality of this nation. I'm saying the Sodomites won. And I'm old, and I'm just sitting back and watching it happen. The Sodomites won with that decision out of the Supreme Court. I hate to tell you. It's how they pushed. When you
they
read
cut
the
from
fine
whole
traditional
right,
marriage,
doesn't exist.
Right, when you redefine traditional marriage, which is there, it's a religious institution, but it's also a cultural institution in our society. And when it dissolves, you're going to see what's going to happen to this America. I mean, already how many people were born out of wedlock? It's astronomical, all right? And I just saw a show, one of these new reality shows that are flooding the airwaves last night. There's a reality show now out of California, Pregnant and Dating. The women go out and get impregnated by the perfect muscular guy with perfect DNA that's a butthead. And then while they're pregnant, they find their perfect husband to raise that child. Now, what is happening to our society when shows come out of Hollywood like this? And they're being watched by people, all right? And people think they're good, all right?
Yeah.
What is happening here? And I'm not that old. I'm in my 50s. But what has happened to my life, and I say I being a child of the 60s, raised in college 70s, what is happening? Are we in a moral degradation, decline? Where people like you and me now will be relegated to the back rows and the back of the bus, and we will now become the victims, the ones that are beat upon and stuff.
Frank, we're bitter clingers. We're bitter clingers, brother.
Well, I come from where we cling to our Bibles and guns, all right? Near there.
Yeah.
Remember what Barack said in San Francisco about those people up in Pennsylvania? All right?
Yeah.
Well, that's us. We cling to our Bibles and our guns. And America hates us for that. And I don't know. That's how I was raised. All right? I was raised in a church. All right, good.
Well, Frank, America doesn't hate us for that. It's the rest of America that hates us for that. It's the people that aren't really wanting to be Americans that hate us for that. Those are the people that we need to fear. You don't need to fear me and Michael, all right? You don't need to fear, you know, people that believe in what we believe in. You need to fear these people that sit out there in Dearborn, Michigan, and stone a bunch of Christians for practicing their First Amendment rights up there, you know, on a Muslim rally. And they were sitting there with nothing really, but their signs and that kind of stuff. And
How about that guy that got attacked at the gay rally for holding up a sign? He went there and held up a sign.
Oh, they weren't preaching, they were holding up a sign. They were duly respecting their First Amendment rights.
And they get attacked. They were brutally attacked. What's in the game for them? That's what I want to know. What's in the game for Chris Matthews? What's in the game for Larry O'Donnell? What's in the game for the executives of MSNBC? Why do they do this? What is it, financial? Is it their white guilt? Is it their elitist? Their elitism over us minions, over us working class people that were so below them? What is their end game? What do they want? Open borders, nobody ever to be married again, and have whatever. What is their end game? When will it end? What is total destruction of our society? What? Well, what is
power? It's power and it's control. If MSNBC and CBS and ABC can sit there and get rid of the conservative stations on the internet, get rid of the conservative stations on cable, get rid of anything else that they can on regular broadcast TV except their own propaganda, then they rule. They own. Pawn.
Well, Rachel Maddow's your main spokeswoman now for the gay agenda, I'm assuming, right? She's been pole vaulted into the national spotlight. But what's in it for her? Just money? Or did she think that you, me, my neighbor, and everybody else we know is going to start thinking like her? Is that what she thinks? She's going to persuade people to be homosexual, to tell people it's okay to be homosexual, that the lifestyle is an accepting lifestyle? I mean, what? What is it? What does she want us to believe? And we all know homosexuals, I'm sure, and they are decent people, a lot of them, and they have, you know, what goes on in their bedroom, fine. But why do they need to shove it down our throat like they did in the military? Don't ask, don't tell seem to have been working. Now it's openly gay, the military. What do they want? Do they want no more traditional marriages? Do they want the village to raise my child? Do they want the educational system that's in place to educate my child? Is that what they want? Indoctrination into a lifestyle that I seem to disagree with, all right? And I'm just talking on one issue there, the gay lifestyle, all right, that I'm not at ease with, all right? I'm not. I'm too old to change, too, all right?
It's power and it's control. That's what it is, and that's what it boils down to. These people are elitists. They think that What they have in plan for us is a lot better than what we have planned for us, what our Constitution has planned for us, what our Republic has planned for us.
Well,
that's what it boils down to in a nutshell.
Well, didn't you see the new gangs, though? They're those young blacks with black-rimmed glasses. You got Farik Zakaria. You got the British guy on CNN now. You got the other guy on MSNBC, Martin Brashear, talking about our Constitution, how it's outdated, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure you caught that one. And these are Pakistanis or Brits, Muslim Brits, on mainstream TV now telling us our Constitution is outdated. We have Piers Morgan from the UK doing an entire week or two on how bad gun owners are, all right? How bad a people we are, because we happen to own a gun. But he never addressed, you know, the real problem there would be the disintegration of our society and these kids. And these kids, how they're raised, and they're just raised, and they're confused at the end, all right? Because they've never had real moral guidance. They were never taken to a church and made to go to church through catechism or whatever when you reach a certain level. They were raised in single-parent households, which is not bad. A single parent can raise a child perfectly fine, but a lot of times it doesn't work, all right? And they wonder why this fella broke down and went and did that mass murder, all right? With the pressures they get with the social networking now and stuff, and it's just getting out of hand. I mean, you go on the social network, and it's bizarre almost, all right? And these gays are becoming the most vile activists that you can ever imagine now, all right? That you don't accept me, my lifestyle, I'm the problem, all right? I'm the problem, not them, I'm the problem.
There's a thing called tolerance, okay? I tolerate a lot of crap on a lot of people, okay?
Yeah.
I don't have to accept them. I do not have to accept them. And that's what they want is they want acceptance.
Yep.
It doesn't matter about the benefits from the government. That's not their end game. They want acceptance. And I don't have to accept them if I don't want to. I don't
have to accept anybody here.
Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say you're absolutely right, Bing. The end game can be resolved with civil unions.
Contract. You go down to a freaking lawyer and get a contract right up. They can hit you in the hospital if you got a problem.
Term of marriage.
Hey, but listen. Fine. Tweak it a bit. You're covered under survivorship rights of Social Security, blah, blah, blah. You get transfer of property upon death, all right? Whatever. Make a legit contract. Ain't that enough? What is this marriage? Marriage to me is done in a church, all right? It's an institution, all right? It's something I took very seriously. I'm still on my original wife, all right? How about that after many, many years, all right? And that's hard. It is. It's hard. It's admittedly hard to do it in this day and age, all right?
Did you beat your medal yet?
Brothers, if I can jump in real quick.
30 years, what the hell, man? You're stuck with them, right? You become friends, right?
You just can't kill them either, okay?
You just can't kill them or trade them in for two 25-year-olds.
Jump in here real quick. We're up against a hard break, Frank. You'll stand by. We got to get this in. We got some contractual obligations.
Running a great show. I'm going to listen, dude, if you let me participate. Great.
Yeah,
and I appreciate it, guys.
Stand
by,
Bing. Do we got a live read?
Yeah, I do. I'm working on the guest here, man, but it's not – doesn't seem like it's working out too well. I got nothing back from them. But anyways, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives and outnumber liberals by 2-1 according to numerous polls, even polls done by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com or TRADAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Leave your jackets and your colors on the door. Join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution. All on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. You have to register, but it's a liberal-free zone. I hope to see you there soon.
We'll be right back, folks.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism, along with your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command Center and Uncle Bing from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. We're waiting for our guest, Minister Usama Dekdok, to call in. Uncle Bing, your mic's open. You've been trying to get a hold of him to no avail. Perhaps something came up. We do apologize, folks. That's just the way it is sometimes in the world in which we live and what Bing and I do and our other hosts. But we do have Frank on from West Virginia. We've also got the GOP chairman of Henry County, Brother Kurt Blackwood, and we've got our buddy over in Georgia, Brother Ron Adcox. Bing, let's go ahead and bring Brother Kurt in. Frank, stand by. We've got plenty of time. We'll bring you back in, but let's – Unless you've got something pressing you want to bring up right at the moment, let's see what Brother Kurt's got for us. He may want to get on this conversation with Frank. I think Frank may have been listening to us for a while, but this is the first time I seem to recall him calling in. It looks like he's going to fit in with us real good. He needs to check out traditionalamericanmovement.com and sign up over there. Great bunch of folks.
Yeah, conservativenationradio.org. And I guess you didn't get on Facebook. But, yeah, the number here is 718-305-7176. A lot of you guys listen to us on your mobile devices. And that's cool. Just call us in or just call on in and get with us because we're waiting on our guest. And I don't know if he's going to show. I hope he's okay. I sincerely hope he's okay. As you know, Michael, I had a serious, pretty bad car wreck on Monday. So hopefully something like that didn't happen to him. But yeah, let's get Kurt on here. And we've got Casey Jones, too, that just called in. But let's go ahead and get Kurt on here. Hello, Kurt. How you doing? Welcome to Soldiers Patriotism.
Hey, Bing and Michael and Brother Frank over there in West Virginia. Frank, I'm sitting here going, yay. Tell it, brother. You've been laying it down pretty strong over there. And you know what? I cannot disagree with very much of anything that you said. I'm just going to kind of add to it just a little bit here. You asked the question two or three times, what's the payoff for these people? Why are they doing this? I got one word. Well, I got two words, money and power.
But where's the power come from? I understand the money part, all right, the big paychecks. Where's the power? Access to the White House? Is that it? A party with Barack?
What? Access to the White House, access to any government office that has the opportunity within it to make some ill-gotten gains, which most of them, you know, have that. If you start out, if you're an unscrupulous kind of person, you know, a county-level job somewhere, you can make some ill-gotten gains by playing the political game.
Well, hey, there's a tax assessor. We had a tax assessor election up here in Tennessee, and I think the starting pay was $65,000 for that office. And you didn't need nothing. You didn't need no education. You didn't need anything other than to prove that you're a county resident. That was about it.
Well,
who won? And your filing fees.
Huh.
You know,
well,
that's
well,
all
government.
You need. But
they're government jobs.
But those are small jobs. But people,
right.
those small jobs add up to bigger ones. They all add up.
But what are we doing in West Virginia?
But the thing is,
Barack waged war on us, all right, with coal. He just waged war on us 2 weeks ago, all right?
Oh, yes.
The whole
state
of West Virginia he waged war on. Now, what's in it for them to destroy the economy of West Virginia, which is the 17th largest economy in the United States? That has, by nature, a lot of terminally unemployed people that work in those mines, you know, from job to job to job, all right? What is in it for him to destroy an entire industry overnight because he sides with the unproven green side, all right? Money? I don't know, man.
Control. When you can control the people, then you can get whatever you want. The rest of it comes easy. Kurt was right. It's power and it's control. When you have
both
of those,
if
you've got the rest. The rest is a piece of cake. You've got money. You've got whatever else you want. Look at what this president's done.
Kurt, would love for you to interject, but I just want to. We just barely beat President Barack Obama in, that was in 2008. Forgive me. I'm trying to Google it. West Virginia was red, but, just barely. I mean,
it's always
and I understand
historically
that's the
like that. Yeah. It's the unions historical like that. Manchin's a registered Democrat. All right, he was the senator, and he took over the position when that guy went down, all right? They historically vote for Republican presidents, all right, because of the coal interests and they know where coal interests are lobbied. It's in the federal government, all right? But they do vote for Democrats locally. Everything's Democrat. Every council's Democrat. Everything's Democrat, all right? That's because you say those are pay-to-work jobs or patronage jobs or whatever you want to call them, all right? They control the county commission, and they put all their family members or such into all those, you know, the road jobs, the whatever, the turnpike jobs, whatever. But the VPA is trying to kill West Virginia, all right, with their new admissions, all right? They're trying to kill the Midwest, shut down all those powerhouses, switch them to natural gas or full demolition. Now, that would have come with technology anyways, and the Marcellus Shale and the Utica Shale and the shales, you know, up in North Dakota. But this is just all-out war, he's declared, on the American worker now. And these blacks, and I hate to go down the black line, all right, because it's a very touchy subject now with Trayvon Martin. All they are now out there, there's hate merchants selling America that we're bigots. I mean, if you're anti-immigration now, you're a bigot and a racist. I hate to tell you guys, that's what's coming up now. And we are hearing, even on this blog talk at nighttime, we're going in some shows and listening. I'm a racist and I'm a bigot if I don't believe that George Zimmerman shot that fellow in self-defense. I'm an all-out bigot. Now, yep. Who's selling that one to America? Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
And white liberals. Let's get Kurt. Kurt, you wanted to follow up with something. Frank, stand by just 1 second. You're
right,
on a
I'll
hot mic.
Off. All right,
no, you're on a hot
off.
Mic, but hang on. Let's get Kurt in here.
Yeah, okay, Michael. Thank you. And, you know, again, Frank, you haven't said anything here that I can disagree with, I don't think. Yeah, you know. But here, Frank, are you familiar with something, a document? It's a legitimate document. It was entered into the Congressional Record. I forget the year. But it's called the 45 Declared Goals of the Communist Party.
64, I believe it was.
Yeah, that was 64. It's like Club of Rome.
That's what's happening. You know, okay, they're going to call me Joe McCarthy again. I don't care. McCarthy was right. Right message, wrong messenger. Okay, I'll have my shot at it now. I may get shot down too, but I don't care. You know, that's what it's about. Read those 45 declared goals of the Communist Party, and you will find in there a directive that points towards everything that the left is working to accomplish now with. And Barack Obama's not the only one responsible for it, but he happens to be in the limelight now. He's their trained puppet that's running the show at the level at which he operates now. They found him years ago. They cultivated him. They trained him. They turned him into what they knew they needed. They got him elected president. This is the World Communist Organization.
I agree, and it's led by George Soros. It's led by George Soros, all right? It comes out of Europe. They think their way of life in Europe is so much superior to ours. We talk to them every day. You wouldn't believe how much we talk to them. They all despise America because we haven't accepted the homosexual stuff. We haven't accepted the global warming argument. We haven't accepted the military superiority argument, all right? And it's all coming in trying to impose their way of life on us, I believe, out of the EU. All right?
Yes.
They don't like our currency. They don't like our Federal Reserve. They don't like how our military operates. All right? And I think this is a lot of it coming from over there. And you see how they appease the Muslims in Europe now. All right? Belgium now is called the capital of Muslims of Europe. All right? You see how they let the Muslims get out of control with their tolerance policies. You see the legislation that they impose. I'm sure we're going to get it here, the hate crime legislation, all right? You saw for the first time last week, MSNBC did a show on the N-word, a full one-hour show. And their conclusion is the N-word should be outlawed for white people to use. That was the whole entire conclusion to the show. Blacks are allowed to use it. Hispanics are allowed to use it, but white males aren't. And where are we going with that one? Are we going to start outlawing words? Are we going to? We know they're monitoring the internet, but not to the extent we don't know. But where is this legislation going to? You know they're after our guns, right? You know they're after our freedom of speech and stuff. You know they're after that. But it got to come to a boiling point someday, and I'll make my point. When is America going to stand up and say enough is enough? When? When will that
happen?
Well,
let's hold that thought real second, Bing and Kurt. We're up against a hard break. We'll come back out of that. We'll answer that question, or we'll try to answer that question. We're going to pull in Ron Adcox, our buddy from Georgia, as well as Casey Jones. Brother, we'll be right back.
Thank you. Did you hear that, Falcon?
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
After the top of the hour, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. at Texas Studios Patriot Command Center, along with my brother from another mother, Bing, Uncle Bing from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command Center. We've been having a very interesting conversation with Frank from West Virginia, as well as Brother Kurt from Henry County, Tennessee. Frank, stand by, and Kurt, stand by. Brother Bing, you know, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking, I wonder, because, folks, we were supposed to have Usama Dakdak on. He's a minister. He's a convert from Islam to Christianity. He's from Egypt, and we were looking forward to having him on today. He was supposed to come on at about 3:15 and be with us until about 4:30. I'm wondering if we may still get that phone call because of the time zones. He may think he's supposed to call in at 4:15 our time. So stand by, folks. We're not going to give up on that yet, but we are having an interesting conversation. I wanted to bring, Bing, if we could, I wanted to bring in Brother Ron Adcox to jump in on this conversation. I'm going to go ahead and open up Kurt and Frank's mics. You know, Frank asked, when is America going to stand up? And he was talking about the N-word. I've got half a mind to upload a song, but I'm not. I'm just going to direct y'all to it. In my years, I love music, all kinds of music. There's a rapper out there by the name of Graydon Swear. Google him and look for a song called The N-Word. It's a pretty interesting rap tune. I think y'all would get a charge out of it. I don't think I want to. I don't think I want to play it on the radio show, but
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Song. Play it.
Michael might not have it loaded up because, we try to.
We know the song very well. All right.
Yeah, if you're in the know, you know the song, okay?
Yeah, I know, man.
And I tell you what, I do apologize for Usama not being here. This guy is well spoken, and he's very he's very articulate and very intelligent as far as what he knows about Islam. But hopefully, maybe he just got the time screwed up. I've tried calling him, but you know, that's
we're very knowledgeable
about
Islam.
Yeah, but this guy's got his hat on about that, you know. But
well, let's stand by, Frank. We want to we would like to bring in Brother Ron Edcox here and introduce you to some of our other friends, people I think you'll enjoy. Brother Ron, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I just wondered where Frank's been all my life.
I think
we come out of the same clan somewhere back down there, because I've been saying for how long, a year and a half, when are we going to wake the hell up and start doing something about this bull crap?
Yep.
I mean, this is not new to me. This is some place I live every day. I keep wondering when we're going to wake up. There's enough. We've had enough.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I have a friend of mine here on me tagged on. His name's Deputies from New Orleans. Deputy, you there by chance listening?
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah, you want to get in on this conversation about the moral degradation of America?
Well, it's getting progressively worse. Attacking the religions within this country, and it all seems to come back to the white man. And unfortunately, you know, I see more problems ensuing, and I think most of us do, and we're very concerned. And I'll go along with what you're saying. When is America going to wake up? What they've
every
done to
day.
Paul for an example is just totally
be.
Unbelievable.
And now, who's the gentleman? Is your name Deputy?
That's correct.
Well, nice to meet you, Deputy. I'm Michael. Thank you for joining the show today, and thank you as well, Frank. You know, I just want to point out, and I know that you gentlemen know this. Yeah, yes, we have race relations, and I think Bing will agree with me and elaborate on this. Since this president has taken the executive's chair, race relations have gotten to their worst. I mean, we've got a lot of really good friends out there, good, strong conservative friends from the black community, people that I turn to every day that would no doubt agree with us. And I go to them and I say, you know, how can I go into your community as a white man? You know, because the minute you say Republican or conservative, there's this wall that goes up. And it's perpetrated by the white left that has successfully painted us as racists. And it's made it very difficult to talk to everyday common folks who otherwise believe the same way that we do. And I fault the Republican Party. We're so damned worried about this amnesty and this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Texas. I live on a border state. I have to deal with this crap daily. And you know, we want to worry about who we're going to let across the border and just give them citizenship and allow them to vote. They're unregistered Democrats. But yet we're not going to go into the communities of black America and lift that community up and show them how to empower themselves and bring jobs and bring economy into their communities. And it's the left are the racists. They're the ones that have perpetrated this lie, and they've tied this community to the plantation of big government.
Yeah, and it's time we leave the plantation, man. It's
right.
Plantation. Because, look, the party of the Democrats was never into abolishing slavery. That was not the party of the Democrats. It was the party of the Republicans. It was the party of the Whig Party. It never even entered their mind they were actually against it with the Jim Crow law and so on. You know, these people do not have nothing to do in the poverty pimps up there. They don't care about their own people. They want to keep them in control and in power. They want to be in power and have control over their own people. And that's what me and Kurt was trying to allude to you earlier, Frank. That's what these people want.
Yeah, that's exactly. You keep people oppressed and you stay in power. Hey, gentlemen, real quickly, I want to pull in another caller here. We've got a young man, Casey Jones. He's joined us in the past. We know this guy. He's 15, 16 years old, something like that. I want to pull Casey Jones in here. I want to get the we're all in our 50s, 60s, and 70s.
All right.
Let's get the views of a young Republican.
I got a muzzy on our call too. If you want to talk to a real muzzy out of Algeria, all right. I got the real McCoy, man. He'll tell you he hates Americans and the smarts and the dumbs. Listen to Casey.
Hang tight, Frank. Casey, how's it going, brother?
I'm going great. How are you?
Well, we're hanging in there. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Where
you been?
Well, been busy and changed my views. Last time I called, I was a Democrat. Now we're Republican.
We've had some interesting conversations.
Oh, congratulations there, Casey.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the enlightening.
Well, I called in to a show called NOPC Tea Party Radio. You should check it out right here on the Blog Talk Radio. And I try to lay into them. They changed me a little bit. So I'm happy to be changed. And, I'm just so happy to be a part of y'all.
As I recall, you were a Democrat, but you lean more libertarian, as I recall from our last conversation. You had some ideas that we didn't necessarily disagree with, some that we did. But so in talking with our shows and other shows, you've had time to reflect and think about. Now, let me ask you, because it's been a while. It may have been since before the election, since we actually spoke last. Has something happened that has kind of hit you in the face and said, wait a minute, this ain't right. Something's going wrong. This isn't the country that I'm, as a 16-year-old man, that I'm supposed to be inheriting. Is it just the radio show? Certainly there's something you can pinpoint, something that you can tell us about that's kind of helped you along.
And impetuous.
I remember when we were talking, I talked a lot about gay marriage.
Yes.
And, I read the Bible some, and I found out that it is actually in the Bible. I didn't know that. That it was, I think it was Romans 1. It was, they turned to homosexual acts, and they were destroyed. Because it is a sin. So I didn't know that.
And yeah.
I think that I thought Obama was a Christian. I thought he would have seen that it was a sin and not done it. I think that's outrageous.
Well, Casey, and I think being elaborate on this, but you're in the company of a lot of people that thought one thing about Obama, and Frank and Kurt and Ron Adcock, some good friends of ours. I'm going to get them in here. I want to let them talk to you too. People have present themselves in one way, and it's deception, and it's deception for a reason. It's what we've been talking about. It's what Frank has been talking about. It's a deception. It's a deception perpetrated on Americans by the left to take America in a direction that is not healthy or conducive look, we're talking about a vice president that has called Tea Party Republicans terrorists, domestic terrorists, because and a president that says that we cling to our Bibles and our guns. Now, they're free to believe how they want. If they don't want to own guns, they're fine. That's fine. Don't own the guns. If you don't want to
There's
believe in the Bible,
that's
them. Fine. Don't believe in the Bible. But these are the things that this country made this country great and made it better than the republics of Rome. Frank brought something up earlier about the immorality and the road that we're going down on. And we started the show talking about history, didn't we, Bing? And talking about our past as it applies to our future. Rome fell because of the assimilation of slaves. Put that in modern terms, allowing folks to just infiltrate our country from across the border, okay? They fell because of the debauchery and the immorality That is why Rome fell. We're going down the same path.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Frank brought up that things need to change. Or
Casey,
we're going to go down like Rome.
Casey, let me ask you a question. We got to get to a break, and we'll have you right back, and we'll open this up for everybody else. But you have gay friends, right?
Yeah.
I assume. Maybe not, you know, I don't mean personal friend, you know, maybe. But,
yeah.
Okay, you tolerate them, right?
Yeah.
Do you accept them?
I do. I mean, I'm not gay myself. But
do you accept see, what I'm trying to get at here is, we all tolerate a lot of things. There's bad people out there, and I know that, you know, as far as my religion says it, I have to, you know, sit there and forgive them and of their sins and so on. But I don't have to accept what their sin is. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't accept. I mean, it's in the Bible. Come on.
I just wanted to make that straight before
the
we get
best-selling
to the
book for over 2,000 years. Bing, do we got Casey? Stand by. Do we got a live read, Bing? And then we'll do our commercials real quick and come back out of them.
Yeah, I sure do. And that's we're all about keeping the left guessing. That's what we're just talking about, which may be one reason that Radio Free America with Duke Brooks is moving to Wednesday nights. Or yeah, it actually already moved to Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Some things never change, though. Your weekly dose of anti-communism, U.S. history, and flying is still available. Just on a different night, maybe Republican Democrats or Republican politics and Democrats in Delaware had something to do with it, too. But Radio Free America with Duke Brooks now rolls out on Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatives, real conservatisms for real conservatives.
We'll be right back, folks. We're going to make a few dollars here.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, Automation.com.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It is about 20 minutes after the top of the hour. Uncle Bing, I
can safely assume that our guest is not going to show up today, so we're going to have to reschedule.
I have a feeling, but that's okay. We've got a great conversation going on. We've learned a little something about an old friend of ours that believed differently than us, that made a conversion. We've got Frank on from West Virginia, Kurt and Ron. So we've got a great a great topic of conversation going on today, being one that I think we all want to talk about, because I think we're all tired of being called racists. And
well, and one thing I'd like to just interject is, I don't know if our guest got sidelined, if there was something bad happened to him or whatever, but if you guys go to the straightway.org website, then you can, there's a bunch of DVDs on there, Michael. There's all sorts of training materials, all sorts of things on there that our guest will talk about at a future date, hopefully. So I just hope
we will follow up, because I was really looking forward to this. I pray to the supreme architect of the universe that no bad has befallen our friend.
Well, you know what? Because the reason I say that is because there's internal strife. There's all sorts of things that are going on in this country. There's all sorts of things there's people that are pecking at us like chickens, pecking at a hen or something that doesn't have all its feathers or whatever, and they're from the outside and they're coming in. So we have to stop things. We have to get control, and we have to understand things. And it's great to see Casey. I'm not going to say coming about. He can make it his own mind up. But I'd like to get him back on with the rest of our guests that are older.
I definitely would. We were talking about a song, Brother Bing, and I have reservations. But you know what? I'm going to play it, but I want to stipulate something before we play it. But I'd like to go ahead. I was introduced to this song several years ago, and Graydon Square is the rapper. He's out of Phoenix, Arizona, and he's got a song called The N-Word. Now, most of his music, look, this young man is a veteran. I respect him greatly. He's going to school right now. He's working on his doctorate. I mean, the guy's like a rocket scientist. The guy's brilliant. His only downfall is he is a devout atheist, and most of his music is slanted towards those folks that follow atheism. But he's got one song I really enjoy called "A Soldier's Creed." I mean, the man has been in the sandbox, but he's got this one song. It's called "The N-Word," and when I first heard it, I just about fell out of my chair. I mean, now this is a young libertarian. A conservative libertarian from the black community that has penned this song, and I don't know. Let's play it, brother. Let's just play it.
Go for it.
I want to stipulate that Bing and I are not atheists, because there's one part in here where he does talk about that, but for the most part, this talks about the irony of the use of the N-word. This is from Graydon Square.
I also like to say one thing to everyone, the thing is, the word is nigger. There is no such thing as the N-word. It disturbs me to see our newscasters, our quote-unquote Walter Cronkites and Tom Brokaws and Paul Asanis get on TV and not be able to say the N-word. I mean, not be able to say the word nigger. The word is nigger. There's no such thing as the word N-word. How can we get past the word when we can't even say it?
Yeah, lyrically, they say what I do is a fad. You can't keep spitting truth, because these fools will get mad. They don't want you to get deep. They happy with blame, wallowing ignorance, as long as they stack in the grain. Think I'm overstating my case? This is a fact. There's a very strong line between niggas and blacks. See, niggas are followers, blacks normally lead. Niggas call blacks whitewashed soon as they on the scene. And the thing about niggas, you can't tell them nothing, cause they know every goddamn thing about something. See, niggas hear blacks talk and say that they talk white, more ignorant than Michael Vick setting up dog fights, sagging to the ankles, don't care if they walk right, would rather smoke and drink than see if their kids are all right. See, niggas are attracted to niggas, blacks are attracted to intelligence, they don't care what their skin is. See, niggas use their skin as a crutch, as an excuse to be lazy as fuck, not to get off of their butt. Niggas could care
less about truth. They'd rather get their hair done while blacks value knowledge, even if it scares them. So this goes out to all my blacks and non-niggas. If they acting like a nigga, you call they ass a nigga. This goes out to all my whites and non-niggas. If they acting like a nigga, then you call they ass a nigga. This goes out to my Latins and non-niggas. If they acting like a nigga, you call they ass a nigga. This goes out to my Asians and non-niggas. If they acting like a nigga, you call they ass a nigga. See, niggas believe in God, black people don't. Niggas ignore evidence that black people won't. Niggas believe in God, black people don't. Niggas ignore evidence that black people won't. I had to say it twice so there wasn't no mistaking it. This is too important to us not to put the race in it. Niggas have kids, don't take care of them. Niggas talk shit about black people because they scared of them. Niggas get mad cause non-niggas use the word nigga as soon as they get finished using the word nigga. And I don't ever wanna hear that we have a right to say it and they don't. That we should respect this connotation cause they won't. These are the facts, we should respect that. The very reason we black has nothing to do with that. In which the manner we act, it's just a skin color stupid. We need to move past that. So this goes out to all my blacks and non-niggas.
All right, and that's about all I want to do of that. But the point of that song, let me get Brother Bing back on here. When I first heard that song, I fell out of my chair because I'm like, wow, this guy is talking about stuff that you certainly he's being called out from, was called out for by his own community in the use of that word. And the contradiction that some people can say it and other people can't.
Well, like I said, he says in that song, I believe it's like something like to the effect of, well, we can use it, so I don't want to hear about white people can't use it. So, you know, I don't use that term. I don't use that word. You know, I just, you know, grown past that. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
But the thing is,
look, is that you're guaranteed by the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights in the Constitution that you can say that.
All right.
if you want to.
I've got everybody on hot mic, so hang tight. But
all right.
Look,
so,
we've gotten so
PC in this country that we're afraid. Look, and I was going to ask our guest today, but I'll ask all of you. Have we been terrorized in this country? I'm not talking about 9/11 when they struck. I'm talking about the right, your freedom, okay, to say what you want to say. Do you feel like if you say what you really want to say that you'll be terrorized?
Well,
let me ask you that question.
Yeah,
let's go down the line here. Let's go down the line here, okay? Michael, I pretty much think I know what you think about that, but Casey, let's go with you. Okay, you're the youngest one. Do you feel terrorized? Do you feel that you cannot say what you really want to say in this country without being labeled a terrorist, without being hunted down by the jihadists in this country or somewhere else?
Well, I mean, my dad was a substitute teacher a couple years ago, and I mean, my dad's not a racist, so he feels that the N-word is a bad word, but he had a class of all black people, and he would hear that word said, like, it was the word and. It was so frequent. And I just feel like if the blacks are able to say it, why aren't the whites? Why?
Correct. But do you feel, Casey, like at school, like you can't say certain things without being, you know, you don't know if you're going to be jumped or something?
Like the young man in West Virginia that was put up on charges for wearing the NRA T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, man, big one down there.
Yeah.
But then they had to get over that Wheeling rape trial where the black guys raped that girl supposedly at the party, all right? That's why that was swept under the rug.
Hang on.
Hey, I got a new listener here. I got a guy from Israel, my Algerian friend here. I don't know if they want to talk, but I just want you to know they're listening to you, okay?
Can I say something?
We appreciate it.
We got a Jew and an Arab at the same time. All right?
Hey, Casey.
Yeah, let Casey speak real quick.
All right, Casey.
I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to bring my Bible to school because I'm afraid that they're going to pull me out and say, I'm sorry, you can't bring this to school.
Huh.
And, I mean, that's happened to my friend before, and I'm just afraid that I'm going to be sent to the principal because I'm reading God's Word.
Well, do you say
that,
that happened to your friend? Huh.
Yeah, we both go to the same church, and on Wednesdays we have after school church. So he brought his Bible, and he got bored, so he started reading the Bible during class, and it was free time, and the teacher had to pull him out to go to the principal's office because that's not something to be reading at school. Casey, I might recommend
you take the Bible. This is in what country?
United States.
Yeah. You know, being I'm half induced to suggest that Casey make news and take it to school and let's see what happens. I say that in jest, Casey. Don't do that. But really, I mean, you know, sometimes a handy iPhone or smartphone with video recorder in the appropriate place at the right time, it sheds light on the left, and it sheds light on their disdain for people. Real quickly, I just wanted to answer the question there, and I'm going to share something with y'all. When I was 19 years old, when I was in the service, I have tattoos. I like tattoos, and one of the tattoos was a skull with a sword through the head and a Confederate flag. Now, mind you, I grew up in South Texas. The CSA thing, the whole that whole thing is not real big in Texas. You'll see the, especially in the eastern part, you'll see the Confederate flag. It's our banner, Bing. But that's not something we grow up really bragging about. Is the Civil War in Texas. We're more interested in our republic history. But at the time that I got it, the Confederate flag was, to me, just a symbol of rebellion. It wasn't a symbol of racism. And I had this on my forearm. The day that I left for the service, my grandfather took me to the airport, and he said, "Don't get any tattoos below the elbow." Well, what did I do? I went to a carnival. I was in the service. I got drunk. I was rebellious type. I got a Confederate flag and a skull with a sword through the head of it, tattooed on my forearm. I got out of the service and joined the ranks of the civilian world and became a professional. And first of all, it's very hot in Texas, so you don't like to live in long sleeve shirts. And it was very offensive to friends of mine, good people that just found the symbol offensive. I paid $100 for the tattoo, and I ended up spending $500 having it burned off of my arm. By the way, which was at a gang tattoo removal program in Dallas County, and the first five people to attend this program were myself and four other vets. They asked us what was the gang we were affiliated with, and we said the U.S. military. But I had that. I paid $500 to have that tattoo removed, simply because it had offended friends of mine, and I didn't want to offend them. Was it an abridgment of my free speech? Oh, I guess. But it wasn't worth offending folks, and that's the reason why I don't had never been fond of the use of the N-word. It's a lack of intelligence to use words of that nature. So I don't know. That's just kind of my thoughts.
Well, now Shakespeare wrote a book about or a novel about that and used that word. So I wouldn't say a lack of intelligence. I would say I would say that we're just too politically correct. We're just too politically correct in this country to sit there and say our own mind, speak our own mind. We can't even speak our own mind in this country without fear of being pulled over or without fear of being picked out from a crowd and busted.
Yeah.
We can't do that. That's a shame, man. You can't do that in the military. I can see that to a point, but a regular private citizen, you can't do that.
Well, look what happened to Paula Deen. She used the word 30 years ago, after being held up, and the man subsequently came.
She's got a gun at her head. Yeah.
Had a gun, and the perpetrator subsequently came out and said he feels at fault for what's happening to her right now. Yeah, we're talking about a party that embraces the Senator Robert Byrds of the world. I mean, talk about the irony. Kurt, jump in here on this. Brother,
call my name Michael.
Yes, Brother Kurt, I wanted you to jump in on this.
I'm sorry. I was typing on. So what was the question or the statement?
Well, we're just talking about the hypocrisy of what's going on and the N word and how you know.
Oh yeah, okay. I kind of wandered off there, immediately. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, listen. Here again. I'm gonna, this is all part of the engineering. There are people hard at work who are developing ways to make people hate one another. People who hate one another fight more and create more problems. And this is how they keep the strife going on around the world. Look at what happens in the Muslim community around the world. Look at all the terrorism, honor killings, the beheading of actually innocent people. I mean, they want to kill all the Jews. Where does this all come from? It comes from a man named Muhammad, who was he was mentally arrested to come up with all this stuff that their religion is about eliminating an entire race of people from the face of the earth. Now, it's not just a race of people. It's anyone who does not accept the tenets of the Quran and the whole Muslim scene.
Well, there's tolerance and there's acceptance, right? And, I don't accept them. I put up with them because I have to, basically, but I don't even like doing that. But the thing is that, we have, our own president, Kurt, has sat there and propped up, propped up the Muslim Brotherhood in these different countries. We had Mubarak, which, granted, he might have been a dictator over there in Egypt, but, then we sit there and President Obama, if you want to call him that, propped up Mr. Morsi, and last we know him, he's, breaching human rights and, authoritarian rule. And now, you got him out of power. And then all of a sudden the Obama administration is backing off, and now they're coming back and going, well, they want the Muslim Brotherhood in power over there. And it's like anything. It's like these people want control. They want to be able to control. And it's not just our country. It's other countries. This is nation building is what this is. But it's not nation building in our favor, man. It's not at all.
Back to that one word I spoke of a couple, three times already. It's about power. One of the things that's most, to some people, and usually the lower the intelligence level, the true intelligence of the person, the more important it becomes to those kind of people. The most important thing in life is to prove that, quote, I am right. That becomes paramount. They have to show the rest of the world, I am right and you're wrong. That's part of the power scene, the power of being right. Back to you, Ben.
Well, let's get Ron in here, because I know Ron's been waiting for a little while. Ron, you got help, Mike. I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, from down in the Georgia area and that kind of stuff, you're fairly close to Memphis and all that. How do you feel about this?
You talking
how do you
to me?
Feel about the fact? Yeah, how do you feel about, the fact that, our country is just being usurped by a president that I think is Muslim? I think he's Muslim.
Well, I do, too. I was sitting here telling Steve what I saw yesterday was really strange. And I don't know how a woman, whether she's black or white or Asian or whatever, would put up with having a Muslim for a husband. This woman was walking 5 feet behind her husband in a rainstorm, and he had an umbrella, but she was walking out in the rain, and she had that hijab or whatever that thing is on, and she was just proudly walking along behind him, but she was wet to the bone.
And how anybody could put up with that? You know, an American man, he's going to have the umbrella over his wife, and he don't care if he gets wet. How does that work into America? How can that be American? I don't understand any of it.
It's not American, and it's the same thing, I think, with the illegal Mexicans. The illegal Mexicans.
And we got no business. I like that thing. Somebody were letting the armed service, you know, the retired servicemen and retired policemen, go down and go on the border and stand guard down there for a while. I think it was Wild Bill for America that had his new video about that. He said, if that'd fix that border problem, you get enough people down, get enough servicemen and retired policemen down there on that border. He said, I bet you Arizona's governor and Texas governor would welcome them. I believe it. I believe they would.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It'd be civil war.
Okay.
It'd end up either in civil war or revolution number two.
Well, let me ask you a question. Don't we not have a border in Korea on the 33rd parallel? Don't we have
38.
A border north and south Korea? Is that 38th?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't we have a border over there? Don't we have a border in Vietnam?
Yes, sir.
No, there's no border in Vietnam, but there is the one, the 37th to 38th, the DMZ there. And, and there's shots fired over it all the time.
Yeah, and there was a border in Berlin. There was a border in Germany. There was a border in North Korea, South Korea. Come on, man. You know, we can do this. That's the whole thing. We can do this.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, we can make
and
sure.
And stick off an illegal every now and again, too.
Yeah, and when you got people like John Kerry in my state, too, you got John Kerry on his yacht somewhere. You got John Kerry, and you got Alexander, and you got Bob Corker up there sitting there promoting people to come into this country, then you got a problem. We got a problem, I guess. We got a problem. And it's not just a Tennessee problem. It's not just a problem with Maine and New Hampshire and Massachusetts. It's a problem with everybody. And we need to, you know, I guess coalesce around people that are sitting there trying to fight for our rights instead of backing away from them.
Well, can I hit on the black issue just for a second? If you look over in our forum, some of you don't spend any time there, and I'm sorry for that. I wish you would. But get over in our forums over at Trade M and find the one that I put in there about Jerry Clower about why Johnny can't read. And go after you listen to that video, then go below that and read that long article that Cross put in there. That was an eye-opening and a mind-blowing thing that she had to say that was one of her aunts that was a teacher that had to bow out of being a teacher because of the situations in the black, predominantly black schools. It will change the way you think.
Ron,
guaranteed.
I want to get your opinion, and I want to get Kurt's opinion in case he has one. I know Casey's new to our ranks, but Kurt, you and Ron both might have some opinion on this. We all thought that Marco Rubio was hot stuff in 2010.
Not all of it.
He's disappointed us greatly here lately with this amnesty crap. I am generally of the opinion when the Democrats get behind something that one of our quote-unquote own is behind, need to oppose it. In light of the battle that we've been having on the life issue here in Texas, which really is not a battle, let me just clear up some misconceptions here. We passed the bill. The problem was that it passed at 3 minutes after midnight, and the session was already done, so they got us on a technicality. The bill's going to pass. There was mob rule 2 weeks ago down in Austin, a total lack of decorum, something that's never happened in our state's capital ever before. Wendy Davis filibustered, as was her right to do, for 11 hours. I don't deprive her of that right. Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst didn't manage the time very well, and the mob took over to run out the clock. The bill was passed, but because it was 3 minutes after midnight, it couldn't become law. That's the rules, okay? You know, now we know what we're up against. Now we know that if they can't win the battle in the court of public opinion or at the election polls, they're going to resort to mob rule. So we will pass the bill this week, outlawing abortion at 20 weeks and beyond. Senator Marco Rubio is pinning a bill to do the same thing at the federal level. I think this is an attempt to regain some street cred. Ron, Kurt, and Casey, in that order, I want y'all's opinion on that.
You're probably right, but it's, you know, Marco's Rubio's ship's done sailed, and somebody pulled the plug out before they kicked him out into deep water. I mean, he can forget about it. That's my opinion.
He's just a sellout, man.
Okay, you know what? If you think back to the big sweep of 2010, when so many supposedly conservative politicians, Tea Party-backed, if you will, politicians got elected. And then think about how many of them, no sooner did they get settled into their office well, they changed clothes. They changed their suit. They pulled off their conservative hat, and they put on a different hat. They turned out to be not what we thought they were going to be. This is not an accident, folks. Here again, they're going to tell me to get my tinfoil hat out again. It's all part of the plan, and it's working so well because we're sitting on our butts letting it work. And until the people start to feel some pain, unfortunately, I'm afraid that the ones that are still sitting on the couch are going to keep sitting there. One of the problems is that by the time they feel the pain, it may be too late. That's the thing.
Let me just jump in. Someone mentioned something in the chat room about chanting, and it just reminded me. You all know that last Tuesday, with everything that was going on down there, so we had the pro-lifers singing Amazing Grace, being very respectful, telling ladies that had abortions, that regretted it, telling their stories in the rotunda down there in the Texas Capitol. So what do we get as retort from the left? We get a bunch of sick bastards chanting Hell Satan. Even the saint.
Yeah, was that sick or what,
even
man?
The Church of Satan has denounced these people.
Well, I don't belong to the Church of Satan at all. I keep my distance away from them. But
remarkable.
If they got the two fingers pointed at the cross at these people, yeah, I don't want to side with them, but I'll sit there and agree with them. I'll tolerate them.
This is how nasty it's getting, Bing.
Oh, it's been nasty, man. It's been nasty.
Hey, I'm going to check this phone call if you want to pull in Casey. We got about
Michael,
11 minutes left.
Yeah, 718-305-7176, and we'll try to get all you guys on board here. Casey, look, you're a young kid. You're my daughter's age, man. And, I just feel so bad for you and what you're going to have to go through in the upcoming years. I mean, you're talking maybe thousands of dollars a year that you're going to have to pay for Obamacare. I mean, are you doing anything at school? Let me just ask you, are you doing anything at school to help others, you know, come to the realization that Democrats are not really on their side? And I don't even think the Republicans are on their side, but
yeah, I mean, I have a teacher, he's a coach of mine, and he teaches history, and he's like a full blood Democrat, and I'm like, dude, you really expect Obama to fix all your problems? And I mean, I've had a couple of fights with him. I mean, it wasn't like with cussing and stuff, but I got into a political fight with him, and I don't think that he's really going to change, but I tried my best.
Dustin, well,
you
know, I want to... Play big.
You know what, Casey? There's some people that you just cannot change, you know? There's some people out there that are just so far off to... And it don't matter what spectrum. It might be the right spectrum. It might be the left spectrum. You just can't change them, you know? So sometimes you need to mitigate your losses or whatever and move on and go, you know, go after somebody that you can change, you know? Your immediate friends, your family, that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
you know,
Jamie,
you're doing great stuff, Casey, man. I tell you, Michael, this gives me pride to know that there's kids like this, you know, that are actually out there in school that are doing this, that are,
well, being, it
you
gives
know, taking
me a
their
douche.
Bible to school. I mean, who takes their Bible to school anymore, Michael?
Bing, this is really... And Casey, I don't mean to sound braggish, but I just, being, I want to pat us, you and me, and Kurt and Ron and all of our friends a little bit on the back. You know, we've talked to this young man for a year now, and he's been polite to us. We've been polite to him, and here he's calling us and he's saying, you know, guys, I'm evolving. And Casey, I want to commend you. You're 15, 16 years old. You're in high school. I want to commend you. My young friend, you're going to evolve further. You're not done evolving. I hope that what you are learning now, that you keep with you, but it's going to evolve further. Who knows what you're going to be in 5 more years when you're 21 or 3 more years when you're 18 and you get to go to the polls. I wish that I could go to the polls with you, though. I really do. What an honor it would be to go to the polls with you, believing the way you believe now. And I want to encourage you to seek us out. Seek, you know, friend us on Facebook. Join traditionalamericanmovement.com. There's a lot of learned men and women there that can help manicure what you're learning now, the changes that you're going through. I'm so proud of you. I mean, this is really... Bing, this makes me feel good because we were a part of this young man's transformation.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this boy here, you know, I call him a son of mine now because – and I don't call you a son of mine because, you know, you're mine. I call you a son of mine because you shine, you know. So, I mean, I just – you know, thank you for what you're doing, man. I mean, just keep it up. Just keep getting the word out just because that's all we got right now.
Yeah, you're the future. You're the future of this country.
Yeah,
my friend.
You are the future of this.
Casey, stand by. We want to bring in another young friend of ours, a veteran, a band of my brothers, a gentleman that I love dearly, a brother, Dustin White. Dustin, come on in here. We're running down to the end of the show here, and I got us something special to take us out today, but. I want to get your thoughts on anything we've been talking about or Casey or Kurt or Ron, what anything they've had to say. But, Dustin, the floor is yours.
Hey, real quick, Casey, congratulations, man. Real quick, though, one thing you need to understand, you can't argue with a liberal because they choose to ignore the facts, okay? You can't have a conversation. You can have conversations, but it's going to be one side. It's going to be their way because you're just blowing the air pretty much, man. Just keep believing what you're believing. Do not let them get in your head because they're masters of brainwashing.
Yeah, I figured that out very quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, one more thing I like to say is a lot of the problem with a lot of these kids today, except for you, Casey, is a lot of these kids' parents, they're looking to people like LeBron James or ESPN's Rob Parker to raise their kids and how they believe. It's a sad day when an ESPN guy can get on TV and run Robert Griffin III in the ground for being a Republican. He called him a cornbread and an Uncle Tom. And that's just horrible, man. Not just because it's a Republican-Democrat thing. When you have somebody with the power of ESPN talking to the young minds of blacks, whites, Latinos, it doesn't matter. But they're automatically going to be ran down because of they're a African-American who chooses to vote Republican. And that's already a shot at us. I mean – It's hard to gain any traction with the young when you got people like this going at them. And, Casey, I just want to commend you on what you're doing. You're not letting somebody else get in your mind. You actually was one side and you flipped to the other. And, you know, now you see from both sides, and like you're talking about your teacher, man, you can see and understand these people. They're not going to be told anything. They know what they know, and that's it. But, guys, great show. Thanks for the time. I want to get off here and let you guys finish up.
Well, hang tight,
thank
Dustin.
You, Dustin. Thank you.
Bing, we're down to the last 5 minutes, so let's just start with Casey. Dustin, you're on deck, and then Kurt, and then Ron. Just get about 30 to 45 seconds. Closing remarks, I've got something special to take us out. So, Casey, closing remarks, my friend, 30 to 45 seconds.
Well, I'd like to thank y'all very much. I feel very blessed to have y'all change me a little bit. So I feel like if things don't change, this country is going to become the old Rome. I think that if Obama goes with what he's still doing, things are going to happen that aren't going to be very good for the next generation.
Amen, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us anytime, Casey. We would love to have you on. Google or search Flying Shamrock, FlyinShamrock on Facebook to find me, because my name is Michael Smith. I go by Flying Shamrock. It makes it easier for me to find. Or just go to our Soldiers of Patriotism, you know, Facebook/ Soldiers of Patriotism or Facebook/ Conservative Nation Radio, and you can find me and Bing there as well. If you're on Facebook, we'd love to have you as a friend, my young friend. Dustin, closing remarks. Go ahead.
I'm not going to even try to follow it up. That young man right there has got his head on straight, and just keep doing what you're doing, Casey. It's you guys' generation who's going to affect the change. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dustin. Brother Kurt, thanks, Dustin. 30 to 45.
Hey, it won't take that long. I'm just sitting here being very thankful for Casey. He has made my day. You just hang tough, Casey, and don't let him mess with your head, okay?
Doesn't it feel good, Kurt, because you've been on with Casey before.
Yeah, it does. It does, Casey. It makes my day, okay?
Thanks, brother.
It makes my day, too, Michael. I tell you what, you know, that we have people like this in this country, the you know, young kids, you know, 16 years old. My daughter's 16, you know. So, I mean, it just amazes me that we have people this young that are into politics and the, you know, to this extent. It just
Casey's already found me on Facebook. Thanks, brother. I'm going to put you in touch with a whole lot of like-minded people. Brother Ron, closing remarks, 30 to 45. And, you know, you've been on the phone with Casey before. You're another person that's a part of this. How do you feel?
Oh, I'm happy. Anytime somebody sees the light, and I know that sounds like I'm making fun, but I'm not. I just feel like that's the darkness is where the Democrats are. And the only chance we've got is to turn ourselves around, and the only chance we got to turn ourselves around is by reaching people like this guy. I mean, that's his age group is the one that's going to make the decisions in the years to come. It ain't going to be us. Hey, we're going to be dust. We're gone.
No, yeah. We're going to be depending on the Casey Joneses of the world to lead our country.
Well, and you know what, Michael? It's not that he's seen the light. Maybe it's that he's seen the darkness. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
When you see the darkness is when you can understand what the light is.
Absolutely. Well, Brother Ron, thank you so much. Brother Kurt, Brother Casey, you guys stand by. We're fixing to go out with a special song. Brother Bing, do you got any closing remarks?
We're going to line up this guest here again. I'm going to try to, but I just want to say that we have an imminent threat, and that to me is Islam. And we're going to expound on that, and I swear to God, if it takes me anything I can do to try to expose that, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. Well, this has been Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio. The mouthpiece of traditionalamericanmovement.com. I encourage you to join that website. It's a great website. You'll get to interact with folks like Ron and Kurt and Bing and myself and Teresa and Duke and all of the people here with conservativenationradio.org. Remember, folks, live free.
Looking for the right kind. Live free. Die.
smile through a payphone. Season has changed. I wanna see you in it. Lights that shine are caustic without you. When we're living this way, 'cause we've known no other.